and adoration to our God. It's something that should never stop. As we go throughout our day, we should always take time out and give God some praise for allowing us to see another moment in life. If you're visiting with us this evening, and this is your first time, we ask that you fill out a visitor's card, which you will find in the back of the pew. And if you have a prayer request, and if you don't feel like standing, there are also prayer request forms back there as well for those who need prayer today. Thank you, Northwest, for being here this evening. I know we who are here today don't want to be called those rainy day Christians. Y'all, they only show up when the weather is good. But we are certainly thankful to God. I'm going to go on to get into my lesson because I don't want to take much time. I realized a few moments ago that I needed to go out there and put my name on the elderly list. Boy, hey, I use big letters to see when I'm up here, but I can't see the big letters unless I have my glasses. It tells me that I'm getting a little older and a little slower, but I'm thankful to God I'm getting a little wiser. You know, that's what we should be concerned about, whether or not we are wise towards God. In my work, I have many privileges to look at a lot of different material that comes into the prison. People send books and cases of books and just all kind of material for the prisoners that are there. Just the other day, I received a couple of cases of books from a guy out of Indiana that had been working in the prison system there for a number of years, and he did a book entitled Prayer Warriors. And then we received magazines, pamphlets, you know, like Discovery and many, many other things that pertain to religion. All kind of newspaper articles or newspapers that they are printing these days. And it affords me the opportunity to scan a lot of that material and look into what they are saying. And I ran across this article while I was reading and studying some of that material called God's Unconditional Forgiveness. God's Unconditional Forgiveness. And as I sat there and I contemplated the thought, you know, I thought of this lesson, and I want to share with you today. It is a two-part lesson because I had to try to endeavor into why people think the way they do when it comes down to God's unconditional forgiveness. Well, let me assure you, God has conditions that we must meet in order to be forgiven. And if you fail to meet those conditions, even in the church today, you cannot be forgiven. But first of all, in the first part of this lesson, I want to share with you why people believe what they believe. In most religious denominations, their ideology, that's their philosophy, thought, and creed, is that God's forgiveness is unconditional. And I can understand why people perceive it that way. It is because most religious groups profess that God's grace is a free gift. And if His grace is a free gift, why not think or believe that His forgiveness is unconditional? His unmerited favor, definitely a gift to the world given by God through Jesus Christ. Not because we believe in Him, but because of God's great love for humanity. Paul wrote Titus and stated this in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Look as we read this. He says, "For we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, servants of devourers lust, pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Paul confirms this thought in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. He states, "And you had he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." He clearly states here in verse number 3, "among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others." As we begin to look at this text here and look at what Paul told Titus, we were all caught up in the works of the flesh, in hating, in all types of lust, living for pleasure. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But when we go back to Titus, verse number 4, the Bible teaches us this concerning God's grace and his love for mankind. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appear, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Ghost, which he shed it upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ, that being justified by word, church, being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of his eternal life, of eternal life." The Roman writer confirms this in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. He states, "But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For it's when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Again, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 teaches us, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together. By grace we are saved." And when we read those scriptures, we can clearly identify that it's all because God's grace. God loved us so much that he was willing to share his grace with us. All of this confirms that God has given men a free gift whereby he can be saved, not of his own ability, but because of the boundless love of our Father, God. But here's where the problem lies. Most people believe that their belief is sufficient for salvation, when it's just mere mental intervention. Just this morning on Fox News, I saw a report where people were asked the question, "Why do you believe in God?" The reporter was an agnostic, a confessed agnostic, who didn't wanted to believe, but just didn't have evidence, as he claimed, to why we should believe. He talked about how joyful people are when they truly believe. And it's because of the churches that our society is religious today. He said a number of good things, but he asked these questions to a number of people out on the street, and they could not give an answer to why they believe and trust in God. Now, I think that's a shame and a pity, brothers and sisters, that we cannot stand before men of this world and tell them about the hope we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Intervention, and when I talk about mental intervention, intervention is when a person is trying to bring two parties together through the help of an interceder or a mediator, trying to reconcile some disagreements or differences. And we can all confess that God had a big problem with us. And he sent Jesus, his son, to be a mediator between us and God. But yet, in order for the mediator to bring us to God, there must be some standards, some rules, some regulations that are set in order. See, you just don't go to the table the way you are. You must have a repentful heart before God. What I'm saying here is that you must be the one that recognizes that you have trespassed against God. And you need God's salvation in order to bring you back into the fellowship with God. The Colossian writer writes in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, he says, "And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him." God has done all the work to bring us together. He sent the mediator out. So how can a man believe that there are no conditions in coming back to God or to have God's grace in his life? What this means is that God recognized that we need a Savior. Therefore, people who believe in Jesus, who can have this reconciliation and come back to God. This is done by believing in Christ our Lord, but not believing only. There is some obedience and a submissive will in order to take part in the blessings that God has for them that love him.